You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
All the way from, I was going to say Shibuta, Mississippi, but I knew that's not it. God bless you, brother. So good that you could be here. And that goes for all the other visitors as well. Guys, if you're here and you're visiting, please fill out a visitor card or give us your information, your email, your address, and your phone number. We'd like to keep in touch with you, whether you're going to be here again or no. We would like to just keep in touch with you. Amen. I was sharing with Deacon Frank earlier in regard to what happened with the shooting with President Trump. And one of the things I was thinking about the prayer for the family of the person that did get killed. And also some of the turmoil that some of the folk that were scrambling around trying to get out of the way, not knowing what this whole thing was. But I was thinking about in Trump in particular. And Brother Greg shared it. We're not sure where he is spiritually, but what we do know is that through this, that perhaps the Lord will grab his heart and bring him truly to a place of understanding who Christ is, and if nothing else, to bring him closer to Christ. And indeed, I see it as a divine intervention on both sides, on a lot of sides. And we'll just simply see what God's going to do. We leaving all that in his hands. But indeed, that was divine intervention. And for sure, the Lord's doing something. And we need to be praying for this upcoming election and God's will to be done in the midst of it. Amen. As you see in your bulletin, guys, we're coming back in our study and in our sermon series, Christ Alone is Worthy. And by way of review, our introductory verses are coming out of chapter 11. And we'll begin our reading at verse 32. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's going to be on page 1048. In verse 32, what we know is the writer, he continues here. We saw much of this last week. He continues here, and he's talking about the blessedness and the faithfulness of those that were before us, even in the Old Covenant, and how they held on to their faith in Christ, regardless of what was coming down the pike. In verse 32, if you're with me, say amen. He says, "And what shall I more say? For the time, it says, would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Japheth, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith," and by the way, in this section, old chapter 11, that is the theme throughout this chapter. He said, through faith, it said they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and we know that happened with Daniel. It says, quench in verse 34, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. And that brings to mind Samson, how he had blew it big time, and he asked the Lord just one last time, "Let me have my strength back so I can faithfully do what you actually called me to do." He says, "Wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others," he says, "were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." And listen, rather than yielding and say, "Look, I'll go your way, I'll put down my belief in God," they held on to their belief and by faith believed that there was going to be a better resurrection, better than what they had here on this earth. He goes on, and others, verse 36, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Some translations will say cut in two, and that's exactly what he's talking about. It says, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and these all having obtained, look, a good report through faith, received not the promise. And look, they were on the other side of Christ. He had not come yet. He had not finished his works, but they believed God's promise, and so much so that they did what they did by faith in his promises that were to come. It says, for having, verse 40, provided some better thing for us. And he's talking about us. We know about Jesus. We're living in the time of his resurrection, and that without us should not be made perfect. And guys, this chapter 11 is commonly called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And all these guys, they did what they did, not because of their strength, not because of their intellect, but because of their belief in the high and lifted up God, that indeed he would provide for them a better thing apart from this world, no matter what. Guys, please be prayerful as we continue in this sermon series. Christ alone is worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll touch and bless and minister to each of us, Father God. Allow me to be the first partaker. And Lord, allow these truths that you've had me to study this week for this congregation, Father God, to be seed that's planted in my heart. Lord, not just so I can preach it, not just so I can teach it, but Father God, so that I can live it for my life and allow my life to be an open book to those that see me. And Father, I pray that you will touch and bless each and every soul that's here and feed them, Father, from your word of truth. And Lord, we will be ever so mindful to give your name all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, let his church say, amen and amen. We're going right into verse 1 of chapter 12. And the Hebrew writer says this, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about all those Old Testament saints that we just saw, we just read about all through chapter 11. And there are witnesses. They by faith did what they did. And it says that since we are compassed about, they're all around. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And he's talking about the sin of weight, guys. And I love the fact he's talking about besetting sins. And guys, before you came to Christ, there were some things that you were majoring in. There were some things that Satan had you majoring in, and you were doing them on a regular basis. And because they were strongholds then, that sometimes Satan sneaks back up in your life and he tries to creep you back to go to using them all over again. Because they were so near and dear to your heart and to your life. With me, it was alcohol and drugs and other things. And many times, even till this day, he would try to get me to go back there. And he said they're besetting sin because you can very easily go there if you take your eyes off Christ. This morning, I started to bring my weights. I did that at Men in Motion one time, and I was going to be doing some curls. But what I know is I couldn't do those curls but for so long. And after a while, I'm going to have to stop. Because just like those weights, sin is heavy. And sometimes folk be trying to do God's work with the weight of sin. And look, they want to tell you, well, I'm okay and everything's okay. But guys, if you're diving in sin, if you're living in sin, if you're practicing sin, and you still want to walk around with a cocaine smile, acting like everything is okay, when you know everything is not okay. And sooner or later, you're going to show yourself for what you truly are, because if you're living in sin, it's weighty, and God is not going to be able to use you like he would like to use you because of the weight of sin. And by the way, trying to do God's work with sin on your back, the only thing you're going to get is tired. Just like I would be if I was sitting here doing them curls. I could only do them for a while. And listen, he says, since we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. And by the way, he's saying lay it aside, not in your own power, but in the power of the Lord. Don't go back there, no way. Keep it out of your mind. And of course, Satan's going to try to remind you. And if you play around that with it in your mind, sooner or later, you're going to fall back in that besetting sin and be wrapped right back up again. He says, lay it aside by the power of the Lord. He says, every weight and the sin which thus illegally beset us, And he goes on in that same verse. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Guys, you see me standing up here right now preaching a sermon, teaching a lesson. That's the race that he's called for me to do today. And look, he's called you to race as well. In fact, he wants you to put on your spiritual sneakers, and he wants you to do what he's called you to do. For some, it's serving. For some, it's witnessing. For some, it's evangelizing. For some, it's being an encouragement. For some, you're supposed to be helping out with other folk in their ministry. But he said that there is a race, and he said we run with patience because of what God has done. He said the race that is set before us, and it's the path that God has laid out for you. Mine is not yours. Yours is not mine. But we all have a path and a place that God would have us to be. And again, I used to, when I would be, a lot of times, and I'm going years back, years ago, I used to wear ankle weights. I used to put them on my ankles, and they're real heavy. And when you're walking, what it does, it adds more weight, and it actually works out your legs and works out your body a lot more. So when you take those things off, you feel lighter. You feel like you can run a mile. Well, since I've already added my own weight, I don't actually need the ankle weights anymore. But the premise of them is still the same, that you wear them. But guys, I couldn't go as far with the ankle weights as far if I had them off. And what he is saying is that just like in the physical, when we're carrying weight, it's the same in the spiritual. And he's trying to remind us and let us know, guys, that sin is heavy and will bog you down. And look, you'll wonder, why come I can't do this? And how come I can't pray like I used to? Or how come I don't read God's word? And how come I don't go to church sometimes? And how come I don't do this or do that for the Lord? And listen, could it be that you're being bogged down with some mess from our flesh? And God says, put it off of you. And listen, he even tells us how in verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And by the way, it started with him. You can't complete this race apart from him. You can't get saved and then say, okay, Christ, go sit next to the Father. I'm going to finish this up myself. No, we can't take a step or do nothing without him. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he goes on, who for the joy that was set before him. And by the way, that joy he's talking about Christ going to the cross. And man, that thing was horrific. It was rough. It was awesome. It was ridiculous. But Christ saw it as joy because what he knew is that all these folk here in Lamplighter this morning would be on their way to hell, not to mention everybody else, unless I go there. And look, Christ didn't look at what he was going to have to go through. He looked at the finish line. He looked at himself sitting on the right hand of God and all these folk that when they leave this earth will come up to heaven, that they'll be partakers with him in the glory cloud. That's what he looked at. And for him, it was joy. It says, looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand, it says, of the throne of God. And again, his focus was not on the race per se, but his focus was on the finish. He already knew he was going to do what he did. He already knew that God sent him here for that purpose. He knew he was going to complete it. And the fact that, look, he was 100% God, but he was still 100% man, and he hurt just like we hurt. But he knew, I got to get through this thing because I got some brethren that's going to come after me that if I don't, they're going to be doomed. He says in verse 3, for consider him, again, speaking about Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And listen, it is indeed a contradiction because Christ had no sin nature. Christ never did any wrong. And yet and still, he's hanging on this cross for things that I did and things that you did. And it is a contradiction, but it was one that he clearly and purposely and lovingly did. It says, of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And what he is saying, guys, in this earth, and look, we just went through that tragedy yesterday, and we're going every day. It seems like there's something else going on, and we get grieved in our hearts, even with some of the laws that come down the pike, and some of the things that our government wants us to do or expects us to do when we know they're lies. And he says that, look, you're going to get discouraged sometimes. Sometimes your husband or your wife is not going to treat you the way you want. Sometimes your job and your boss, he ain't going to do right. Sometimes you're going to be in the car and you're going to be sitting there and you're going to go, the light turns green, and you're going to go through and somebody's going to run right past you. And sometimes things just are not going to go well. And the writer is saying, look at Jesus. Look at what he did. Look at the contradiction that he paid for your sins, and you can't go through that and listen, do it with joy. He says that we think about what Christ has done, and it supernaturally blesses our heart to realize that we haven't actually gone through anything, and that because of him, we are blessed by the best. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. And there's a whole lot of folk, even this morning, this Sunday morning, they say, that's it. Folk don't come see me. Nobody calls me. I'm sick of this Christianity thing. I'm not going to church anymore. And I hear that. And I see that. And what the Lord said, look, you don't do what you do for him or her. You do what you do because I say you ought to do it. And that's going to be a blessing to your heart. And we don't just give up. Christ didn't give up. And we don't give up either. There's a verse in Philippians 1:6 that said, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Guys, I didn't start this thing with me. I didn't get right by my power. It was by the power of Christ who died for me. And listen, I was ditty-bopping in time doing what I wanted to do, living my own sinful life. And by the way, I was dragging that woman with me. And then Christ came and touched my heart, and he spoke in my ear, in fact, to my heart, and he said something that I had never heard before. Brother Ralph, you're on the wrong road, and I got the right one. And he said it in such a way where I believed him. And just like these in chapter 11, by faith, I believed him, and I followed him. And guess what? He was right. And because of what he did, and because of him even touching my heart, I was able to go the right way. And praise God, I was able to grab that woman and take her with me, though she was already there. And then he blessed us and put us on fire for him. And Lord, we had some issues every once in a while. But for the most part, those besetting sins, we have left them there. And we have went on to work and walk for our Lord. Now I don't have nothing in this earth. And whatever I get is because he has given it to me. And I thank him for that. But I know there's going to be coming a time when Brother Ralph will be no more. We see it with others. It's going to happen with me. And what I do know is two things. Number one, I know I'm going to go to heaven. I know I got a home there already. And number two, everything I got is going to stay right here on this earth, and somebody else is going to mess it up, because it won't be me. And this is the kicker. I won't even care, because I will be in his presence, in his place, in his face, glorifying him morning, noon, and night. In fact, I'm told there'll be no night there, so I'm going to be okay. He says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. He goes on as a reminder in verse 4. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And no, we haven't, but Christ did. And ye have forgotten, look what verse 5 says, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Look, my son, And listen, this is God talking. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And guys, even though sometimes when he's rebuking us and when he's chastising us, it doesn't seem like it's a good thing. But when I'm out of order, my heavenly Father is going to get me in order, just like my earthly father would. And he puts me in a place where I see my wrong and I can repent of my wrong and I can get back on the street called straight, because I was going straight. Then all of a sudden I saw something over here and I started gravitating toward that. And he says, those he loves, he'll chasten and he'll get me back on that street. Amen. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And this is key, verse 6. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth, he says, every son. In other words, if you're his and you're sinning, you're going to hear from him. It says, when whom he received. Verse 7 says, and by the way, that's the good news, because you're his, and he will pay you some mind. If ye, verse 7, endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And again, actually good news. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And listen, if you're his, he's going to chasten you, even in the natural. He goes on in verse 8, and this is the bad news. But if ye be without chastisement, in other words, those besetting sins that keep creeping back up and you go back over and start playing with them again. And listen, you get no bother from the Lord, no bother from God. You can just go ahead and go back into it and sin in peace. There's a problem with the relationship that you thought you had. And if you can sin in peace, you got an issue. Either you're out of fellowship or you never actually had a relationship at all. Again, bad news. He goes on in verse 8. He says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are ye, look what he says, bastards and not sons. And listen, that's one of those ones where you sit back and say, man, I've been living and doing what I wanted to do, and I'm not bothered by it. My heart's not bothered by it. God's not really paying me no mind. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not where or who I say I truly am. He goes on in verse 9, and listen, the writer is making comparison here. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have and gave them reverence. In other words, we have respect of our parents when they would correct us. He says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And listen, he's talking about being obedient, that if we're obedient to him, then we're living with him in perfect fellowship. And if we're disobedient, then we're out of fellowship. And by the way, the simplest definition of death is separation from God. And if we're separated from him temporally as a believer because we're in sin, we mess up the fellowship, and he'll come and chasten you to get you back in fellowship. But listen, if we are separated from him eternally, meaning we don't know him and we leave him or leave here, then that second death will apply to you. Either we're dead spiritually, temporarily, because we're in sin, and the writer is saying, get right with God, put off that sin, repent of that sin, and ask the Lord to forgive you so you can get back. But man, if you don't know him, you're not even going to know who to ask to forgive you of the sin, number one, and number two, you really are not going to have a mind to want to get back. I was having a conversation with my brother Roger in regard to, he was sharing that even where he lives and down in Georgia, that the churches aren't really where they ought to be in regard to folk coming back after COVID. And I was sharing how many folk came here when we started, and then COVID came, and then we got back in here, and then all of a sudden it just got shy. And I was sharing, I don't know if I did a good thing by putting the sermons online or not, because folk figure they can just sit there in the comfort of their own home and watch the sermon. And look, it's good to have when you can't make it out, but it is not church. I need your encouragement. Man, when I see Ralph coming here, and listen, he's walking in his own steam, and I know he's been sick. Man, that does my heart good. When I see any of you, when Tony was out and he's back on his feet, that does my heart good. And when we're physically amongst the saints, man, we're fellowshipping, we're talking, we're sharing, and that's an encouragement to our hearts. Not to mention the Holy Spirit is just flowing in the service, and we're being blessed by God in ways that you never could if you're watching at home. Not to mention, he says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some ought or some has. He says we're not. And if I can make it, I need to be here. The story is told of a man that told his wife, I'm not going back to that church. Them people don't like me. And I'm tired of them looking at me funny. And I'm tired of the smirks I get when I walk in that church. And his wife said, well, honey, you got to go back. We're members of that church. He said, I don't care whether we're members or not. I'm not going back. And she said, well, they need you because you lead the singing. He said, well, somebody else will lead the singing. I'm not, they don't treat me right. And then finally said, well, honey, you're the pastor. And if you don't go back, nobody's going to be able to preach. And listen, it's a humorous story, but look, a lot of times folk will not come to a church because of how someone looked at them or treated them. And look, God did not say, Brother Ralph, this morning, he didn't say to me, I need your opinion on whether or not you should go and preach today. He didn't say that. He says, I need you to go and preach a sermon. He didn't ask my opinion, didn't even ask how I felt. Number one, because he already knew how I felt. And number two, he knew that I would listen to his voice and I would do what he called me to do. Guys, we're in a time, man, a very sinful time, where sin's encroaching at an alarming rate. We're living in a time where it's even being mandated where if I don't care if it's wrong, you're going to call it right. We're living in a time where folk who we thought had even a little common sense, we're realizing they ain't got no sense at all. And then here we are, children of the Most High God. And he has called us to do something. And listen, he says, pay no attention to the left or to the right. Just do what I tell you to do and walk right down the middle and you're going to be okay. He said that he's going to provide for us according to his riches and glory. And not to mention, all of what we see here is one day is not going to be here. And guess what? Neither will we be.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.